to the Marketing Cloudcast. It's the podcast where marketing leaders shoot straight about key trends, technologies, and topics in marketing today. And now, straight from the Salesforce Marketing Cloud, it's your co-hosts, Heike Young and Joel Book.
Hey again, everybody. Welcome back to the Marketing Cloudcast. This is Heike Young, and I'm excited for another episode of this show with somebody who I really believe is a rock star in a couple different senses. First of all, he works in one of my favorite industries, which is the music industry. He works at Warner Music Group, and Joel's going to tell you a little bit more about what he does in just a moment. And also, he works in digital marketing. He's created some really cool fan journeys, some customer journeys for the customers over at Warner Music, and it's a really cool job. It sounds like a dream job in a lot of ways. He also has access to a ton of data, which lets him craft some really unique one-to-one, truly personalized journeys for all of the folks that he's interacting with as part of his customer base. It sounds like a cool job, Joel, and I'd love a little bit more info about our guest so we can get to interviewing him. Who do we have on deck?
Well, it is a very interesting job, Heike. Hello, folks. Joel Book here, and as Heike indicated, we have been so excited to have Itay Rahat on the show here at the Marketing Cloudcast. Itay is a friend of the program. Warner Music Group is probably one of the most innovative users of Salesforce Marketing Cloud, and we're going to ask Itay to kind of take you behind the scenes today to how they are managing digital marketing programs, principally anchored by email, for more than 1,000 different artists and bands in 35 offices around the world. This is a big job when you talk about the task of connecting an artist with his or her fan base and keeping those fans engaged. It's a big job. Itay Rahat is Senior Director for CRM and Fan Engagement Platforms at Warner Music. And as I said, he oversees Warner's global email and marketing automation programs across, and you heard it right, 1,000 artists and bands around the world, and he helps guide this journey between the artist and the fan using data, automation, and content. Itay Rahat, welcome to the Marketing Cloudcast.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Itay, as we said in the opening, what you and your team are doing at Warner Music Group is really interesting. And folks, if you are fans of artists like, golly, Michael Bublé, Josh Groban, Melanie Martinez, Group Love, The Railers, if you have opted in to receive the email communications from these artists, this is all powered by Warner Music Group under Itay's direction. Itay, in your line of work, you've got a lot of brands. You've got a lot of clients that you have to please. You've got to be able to do digital marketing and specifically email marketing at scale. Give our listeners a little bit of an overview of Warner Music Group, the task that you have, the challenge, and what your objectives are in terms of really building these large databases of fans and keeping them connected with their respective artists.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, Warner Music Group is the third largest record company in the world. We're essentially a holdings company of various record labels around the world, with over 1,000 artists that we have signed. We produce and market and distribute the music. And in our department, we support all of the data, the CRM initiatives and strategy, the marketing technology that powers a lot of the fan journey. Our aim is to acquire and engage fans and then convert fans to their favorite or best preferred consumption, music consumption method. It could be on one of our partners, whether it's downloads or streamings or live tours. And of course, we have a network of e-commerce stores that we power for our artists where they can, where fans can engage with a bit more exclusive content and really support the artists directly. We, send, well over, you know, 200 million emails a year across, 1,000 artists. We try to touch them all, at least yearly, and often much, much more. Everything is based on the artist cycle and what's going on in the artist's life. And of course, we, have a life cycle marketing plan for, all these fans as well. Across thousands of campaigns and automation programs that help us scale the effort.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably wondering, what size team you have under your direction, Itay, that makes all this happen. Give us a little bit of an overview of the team, that makes all of this happen and kind of how you're structured?
Yeah, so we have a couple hundred of users, close to 200 users of the Marketing Cloud, actually, and that's across 35 offices. And the way we operate, my team runs the platforms. It's an ecosystem of really a couple of integrated platforms between our internal database, the Marketing Cloud, and a couple other platforms that help us execute the work that we do. You know, and it includes database engineer, an analyst, global adoption manager, and a couple other people that help build the programs and test them and bring them to a place where we could operationalize them. We have an operations team that helps support a lot of the scaling of the effort once we have a set a process for automation or lifecycle marketing campaign. Email production is one of them, which is obviously one of the most common ones. The operations teams, there's a whole process there of how the data and information gets from our digital marketers at the labels to the operations team, and they take and execute everything from creation to segmentation and QA, of course, and approvals and send. We do more and more customized solutions, everything from how we structure the database to how we segment to how we plan reaching the fans, to automations, to many processes that involve around operational efficiency for us on the back end so that we can scale our email production and marketing campaigns more and more. We do have a set of users that are not in our central operations team, and they are every day in the Marketing Cloud. They usually, those would be outside of the US in the various territories around the world. There will be like pockets of CRM managers that do their own marketing campaigns, but we provide their tools and the best practices for them to use.
So you really provide more central command and control over all of the Salesforce Marketing Cloud tools that these individual users will be will be using, be it email, social media, et cetera, to really back to the major objective, and that is to attract new fans for Michael Bublé and to onboard that fan and keep that fan engaged. Is that pretty much correct?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Well, Itai, I think you've done an amazing job of explaining the impressive scale of the work that your team does. It really is a huge operation. Now, I would love to zero in now on a recent project that I know you guys had some success with, and it involved promoting some concerts and tours for your artists. So for those of us who aren't lucky enough to work on concerts and promoting, you know, tours for major artists, it sounds like a cool line of work, but for those of us who don't do that, how would you say these are traditionally marketed? So educate us a little bit. And where are the pieces that often become a challenge for you there? And maybe just give us like a quick intro to what you did to address some of these challenges.
Absolutely. So you can imagine across our broad roster, there's quite a bit of live shows happening. And, you know, we're talking about thousands over thousands of shows a year. And one of the main value propositions when a fan signs up to an email list or a notification for an artist is obviously knowing when they're coming to town and when can they see them live. And so we've installed a couple of ways to reach them in that very important moment before, after, offer enhanced experiences, etc. The first thing was location, right? We need to know when is there a date that is relevant for a specific fan that he needs to know about. And what we've done here is we realized we can't manually build thousands over thousands of emails. That means, you know, segmenting and building emails and sending, that would really take up a lot of our bandwidth. And it would come in place of creating other very valuable programs for us. So we set out to automate this whole process. And the way we're doing it is we've been tracking bands in town listings, which have all the concert events. And we identify when an event for an artist is about to happen. And I'd say about 10 days in advance, we will take that information. We will build an email automatically from our with that information. And we would segment the audience in about 100-mile radius around the venue and send to it. And that whole thing happens automatically. So 10 days in advance, there's a trigger that happens, Content Radar, which we develop with a partner company of ours called Storyports, and it will build the email automatically, segment the audience, and send. It even has an approval process. So we would send a mobile notification and an email to a marketer or a manager saying, hey, this exact email is going to go out. And you can click yes, the email goes out to that segment. No, it doesn't go out to that segment. And this, it added a very important piece that we needed, because we were very sensitive about when we talk to our fans and why, and are making sure our artists know what's going on, and what communications are going out, making sure we're aligned with the ticket allocations and sales, et cetera. And it's been very successful. We've scaled it over a couple dozens of artists across. Each of them had 30, 40, 50 dates in the US. We're looking to do it externally now. And it's been really operational efficiency here has been great, because we're talking about saving hundreds of hours of email production, where the system actually does everything for you. And we're seeing triple the engagement rates on those emails, because they're so relevant, letting the fans know when they have an option to see their favorite artist. Now we're looking at expanding this program by saying, why don't we send an email 30 days prior, and then a reminder 3 days prior, and why don't we send a reminder one day after? Because that way we could continue the engagement of post attending the show. And even if the fan didn't attend the show, there's still a buzz in the city about that artist because they were just there. So we're looking at enhancing the program in that way.
It sounds super successful, Itai, and I would love to know, you know, after running this campaign, you said you scaled it across a couple dozen different artists, and you're looking to grow it more. What would you say are some of your key takeaways from this, for marketers listening who are like, yeah, I'd love to do something like that. You know, I'm not exactly sure how to get started. Do you think that it was successful because of the timing, because of, you know, maybe the geographic relevance? What exactly are your takeaways for people listening who want to do something similar, but they have a very different industry, very different goal that they're trying to achieve?
I think absolutely the first thing we looked at is we identified that is one of the main value propositions that we can provide. It's one of the, you know, it's things that artists always want us to email their fans about. It's things that have been requested in order to be relevant, right? So we've noticed that there was an increase of request of geo-targeted sends across tours, and that they include the full tour, which could be 40 separate sends. Sometimes the segments are large, sometimes they're small, but either way, it takes operational bandwidth. So I think identifying which programs take a lot of bandwidth for your team, and then finding out if there's a way to automate them. Technology helps us solve a lot of things today. And almost anything you put your mind to, you can do. And if there's no internal ways to do it, there's often a partner that could help you do it. So we definitely looked at, okay, it was a plus, you know, operational efficiency plus delivering on a value proposition seemed like a win-win situation. It took us time to develop it. It took us time to understand what is the best source to do it, to test it, to make sure that it does right. But it was something that was well worth it.
It sounds like the major channel of engagement is email. But my question then, Itai, is what are you doing on behalf of the artist to grow that base of email subscribers? I know the principal objective here is to attract fans and then to keep them engaged with that particular fan, keep them alerted about concert dates, et cetera. But what types of tactics are you using to really grow the fan base for an individual artist and convert those individuals to email subscribers?
That's a great question. And of course, that, you know, the tour alerts is one of the programs we obviously have. The other value propositions are around new music and new videos and places and times where you can interact with the artist, maybe through VIP packages and experiences and things like that. So, but the tour is one of the main ones. And the way we acquire is we try to look at all the channels that fans are on. So we have a network of stores and websites, which we power, which our content team works to create, develop, and manage on behalf of the artists. And those obviously have acquisition points on them and opt-in forms. We do a lot of campaigns and sweepstakes to provide enhanced experiences with the artists that allow for data acquisition. We do in-venue acquisition, which is, it's very important to us, right? Like, we don't necessarily have all the purchaser information from the venue, but we know that these people are very valuable for us. So we developed an option to text in your email address entered into a sweepstakes that allows you to get upgrade your seat during the show or win a signed bundle. And all of that is happening throughout the show. We're doing a lot of things with streaming as well, where you can, it's one of our global initiatives, and streaming is very important to us and the music industry right now to drive growth. But we're looking at ways where you follow a playlist or pre-save a song on one of the streaming services, but at the same time, sign up to that artist list. So we have these type of integrations. Same with social. We had an integration with Twitter and Facebook for their lead generation ads, where you could run an ad and have fans with one click, because they're already logged in, sign up to the artist mailing list. So it's about understanding where the fans are. How can we create integration so that we can seemingly add them to the artist list? And also type of programs that we can build over and over and over again for our various artists and various brands. And not less important is the way we tag the data that's coming in. It's extremely important to know who came in after being at a show, who came in from social, who came in from a specific sweepstakes. Those are things that later helps you in analytics, helps you understand and create business intelligence programs, helps you in segmentation and onboarding journeys. So the data source of where are we acquiring across an artist database and also across our artists databases, overall, so that we could do this, in-list segmentation as well as broad understanding of our best performing acquisition points.
Have you also experimented with tools like Facebook Custom Audiences or using a DMP like Crux, to identify look-alike fans, individuals that you can then target directly for the purpose of then hopefully acquiring them and then converting them to an email subscriber?
Yeah, we've connected our database with Facebook, for example, in order to be able and understand those fans on the Facebook platform, right? If you connect those email lists on Facebook, you're able to see the insights and understand them better. You're able to target them in that fashion. And that's exactly right. If you have that type of activity, you can then reach out to those fans on Facebook. Even if not to acquire them, you could also potentially suppress them, right? If you're doing an acquisition program, you could then suppress the people already on the list. So that integration is extremely important.
Itai, I would love to know, before we head to our commercial, what are some other ways that you guys have used personalization, using birthdays? I know birthday is something that a lot of retailers use, sending coupons or other treats around birthdays. But I think you guys did something that involved playlists and decades, and it sounded really fun. And I would love for you to inspire some of your fellow marketers with this creative campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. So the one thing I'd say is, when you're looking to create a program, there's automation funnel, or wheel. There's two different ways to look at it. One, you could say, let's create a really cool campaign. Let's see what we want to create. And then you go and find the data or create the database that helps you, execute that. The other option is, let's look at the data we already have and see what cool things we can do with it. Because the reality is that for many marketers, they just don't have the data sets they would like. I think technology usually is things that we have available today, if you know how to use it. What we're lacking is data and data accuracy or content, right? And that's where it becomes tough. So in this case, we said, let's look at the data we have. We had a data set that we knew is identified with streaming. We knew their full birthday, the birthday for the full data set, and we knew their country. And we said, oh, that's great. Why don't we, what's the best way to, and we wanted to increase their engagement over time. And we said, what's a good lifecycle marketing campaign that we can do there? And so we worked with our playlist curation team, and they said, oh, that could be a really cool thing. We will provide you various different playlists based on when these fans were born, for example. And so what we ended up creating was about 10 automations, each one for different countries. So you would get an email on your birthday in your language And it had a party playlist, which has proved very effective on birthdays. And it had your decade of birth. So child of the 90s, child of the 80s, child of the 70s. We use dynamic content areas in Salesforce Marketing Cloud for this, right? So we had an automation that runs. You get an email in your language with dynamic content area. You would see the right playlist based on when you were born. And the playlist itself also changed between the countries. Yeah, each country also has like different music preferences. So even if it was the same decade, it would be actually a different playlist. And that, you know, it's been obviously very successful. Our engagement, tripled for that campaign. And we've been really able to use these data points in an effective way. So it was a huge success. Yeah. In general, we love birthday campaigns, but this was one of our favorites.
I like it a lot. It involves music and birthdays. What more could you want? All right. Itai is going to have a bit more insight to share with us in our final five. But before we do that, I need to share a quick message from one of our sponsors. You know, no matter what your marketing strategy involves, social media probably plays a role. It's 2017, right? So we just created a brand new ebook called 50 Social Media Best Practices. For our Cloudcast listeners, you can get it right now by going to sforce.co/social50. So that's just social 50. I actually wrote this ebook along with some of my teammates here at Salesforce who work on social media. You will learn 50 of our very top tips for social listening, campaign measurement, how to better interact with all of your fans and followers, and how to create that relevant scroll-stopping ad and content. I hope you will check it all out at sforce.co/social50 to start growing your social media channels today. So Itai, now it's time for our final five. These are the last five questions that we ask every guest who joins us on the Marketing Cloudcast, and it's our opportunity to get to know you as a person and as a marketer a little bit better. So I'm going to start with this. Who would you say is your biggest influence professionally?
I really like Richard Branson. I've been reading a lot of his books. I really like his management style, his appetite for exploring, his ideas about listening to people, and his strong views.
That's a great mention. And, you know, we've done more than 80 episodes here of the Marketing Cloudcast, Heike, and I think Itai is the first one to really cite Mr. Branson as one of his biggest influences.
You know, I think so, which kind of surprises me. But yeah, I think maybe it's because it's kind of like Steve Jobs. It's like, it's so obvious mm-hmm. that he is an influence on all of us that maybe people don't say it. But I guarantee you that almost every marketer has learned at least a couple things, certainly read some of the wonderful posts that Richard Branson has penned. What a great thought leader.
Great thought leader, and just a genuinely a really, really nice man. I had the chance to meet him years ago when he spoke at one of our conferences, and he could not.
Oh, no way. I don't know if I knew that you met him. Met him at Connections?
That's great.
Yes. Yes. And just a really humble individual, and his employees love him. Thank you so much for mentioning him, Itai.
And I actually have a fun story that I'll throw in here, too, in the sake of giving Richard Branson some props. So one of my former bosses at a previous job, before she was a marketer, she was a yacht stewardess. And this is a lady named Julie Perry. Some of you guys might know her or have seen her speak about YouTube at a conference. But Julie told me that she was able to meet Richard Branson out on a yacht while she was working as a stewardess. And he, one day, I guess he had some change on him, like a bunch of coins that he wanted to get rid of. Maybe he was going swimming or something like that. So he gave the change to her and he was like, I just want you to know this is not your tip. I will give you a good tip, but I just need to get rid of these coins.
He's a great guy. Itai, question number two here in the final five is this one. Is there one company that you would say you have a brand crush on? Because you find their marketing so inspiring and awesome. What company might that be?
I'm going to go with mentioning Via. It's a ride-sharing company service in New York City and I think a couple of other ones. Mm-hmm. They're expanding. Their communications are really cool. They have fun and funny emails and text. They have really good inter-channel communications around, you know, when your ride is coming, within text, within mobile push notifications, and in email. Their emails are really cool with a lot of gifts and like all kinds of interesting information. And the tone they talk to you and explain is very fun and flowing. And the most important, you know, they're a very effective, valuable service. Their marketing totally complements that.
I think that's great. And I'm going to check them out next time I'm in New York. The company is Via, V-I-A.
Yep, exactly.
And I assume the website is the same, via.com. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great shout out.
Alrighty, Ty, if you had 10% more marketing budget this year and you could only invest it all in one strategy or channel, what would you choose and why?
Only 10%? Okay.
This is just given to you out of nowhere, Ty. This is just imagine the heavens are opening up over Burbank, where you live, just up the street from me in LA. The heavens are opening up and this money just comes down from the sky with this little note attached to it that it can only be invested in one place.
That sounds great. Yeah, it definitely will require some prioritization, but prioritization is the name of the game. And assuming that's not around, we can always help grow our sophistications with getting people that specialize in the different, for example, marketing automation, et cetera. But if we're looking at technology, I would say something that helps us understand our larger pool of audiences that we touch across the world. Whether it's something in the advertising technology, like a certain DMP, or creating an ad briefing platforms that help us track campaigns and the way we touch overall campaigns across channels.
So definitely in the automation category, technology that enables you to make smarter decisions, faster decisions, be more creative. That's good. Itay, what book would you recommend that our listeners of the Marketing Cloudcast read?
I recently read Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and that was really great. His view, I didn't want to put another Richard Branson book here, so I went with this, but Essentialism is a really great book. It really focuses you to think about what's important in life as well as at work and in your career, how to focus on the things that matter in order to achieve success, how to prioritize. And it puts those type of dilemmas in a way that helps you kind of like make those decisions faster and understand what really matters. Everybody's so overwhelmed all the time, and you just have to know what to focus on. Otherwise, it's going to be very tough to progress.
You're actually the second guest who has recommended Essentialism. I think I've got that right, Heike.
I want to say maybe Tim Kopp mentioned it, but I can't be sure.
It sounds like a book that Tim would probably recommend, but we have that on in our virtual library now, Itay, here at the Marketing Cloudcast, and you would be surprised the number of our listeners that request the recommended books that our guests have talked about here on the show. So we've created a virtual library, so another vote for Essentialism. That's good. Thank you.
All right, it's our last question for you. What one word would you say sums up the whole state of marketing today, and then maybe a little bit more context as to why you chose that?
I'd say appetite. Everybody wants to do more, scale more, know more, reach more, automate more, convert more. And, with the amounts of data and types of technology that we can bring together, I think there's a huge appetite to getting more sophisticated and doing more of those things.
I like it. Great response, Itay. Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cloudcast. We hope you enjoyed it. This podcast comes out every Wednesday, so make sure you're subscribed at sforce.co/cloudcast so you never miss an episode. And if you did enjoy listening, Joel and I would truly appreciate it if you would rate us over on iTunes. You can also do that at sforce.co/cloudcast. Finding those ratings is one way that new people discover our show. And so if you could take a moment and do that, we would love to hear your feedback. And we would also love for more marketers like you and me to discover it and to join the Cloudcast community. You can also find our show on Google Play Music, on Stitcher, anywhere really that you like to listen to podcasts. And if you have any ideas for topics, guests, anything that you want to see on the show, please send me and Joel a tweet. He's at Joel Book on Twitter, and I'm at Young Heike. My name is spelled H-E-I-K-E. And on behalf of Joel, myself, and everybody at Salesforce, we thank you for joining us for this episode of the Marketing Cloudcast. We'll talk to you again very soon.